are now listening to the Fantasy Standard Podcast on Talkdown TV with P and Ryan.
Welcome to the Fantasy Standard Podcast on Talkdown TV. This is P alongside Ryan. If you're watching, it means you're on YouTube, and we kindly ask that you drop a like and hit that subscribe button. If you're listening, it means you're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audio Boom, and all other podcast platforms. We also kindly ask that you hit that subscribe button and leave a review.
What up, yo?
I'm not going to be able to stop laughing after that now. What's up, man?
Not much. Week five.
Yeah. Fantasy team doing good?
Not too shabby.
Okay.
Getting back into the even 2-2 after starting 0-2.
I'd have to admit, it's kind of weird dealing with those, the COVID situations and seeing fantasy players that affected by postponements or, you know, it kind of affected our picks last week. And we thought we were going to have the same situation this week. Yeah. But so far, so good. Maybe Tennessee, Buffalo, right?
Hopefully they play. I need that game.
All right. So I figured let's just go right into what our recap picks were from last week. Again, there was that postponement, so we each lost a pick there. Ryan went 10-5, and I went 9-6. So on the season, we're both same record, 43-19-1. And I was telling Ryan the other day, remember, Ryan, I was like, damn, man, our season average is probably going to dip. And you looked at me like, what? Yeah. like we're actually doing pretty good at this. Is there anything you want to call out or highlight about these picks or anything like that?
For as many games as we got wrong last week, we still won 9-10. I thought we were going to have a way worse record. But we haven't picked. Week one was our worst. And week two had a solid week. Week three, and then week four. But I think with these COVID issues and bye weeks coming up, we're gonna have a couple less games to pick. Mm-hmm. And I think people are getting better understandings of these teams as well now. So four games in, I think it's easier to take data from those four games and really lay it out over a season. So yeah, it's easier to make assumptions now, I would say.
Yeah, the now you're developing tendencies,
yeah,
that we can look at. You could see cornerbacks that people can key on, weaknesses in run defense, whatever. Now it's not such a, well, last year they were, this year they are, right? Like now it's, well, this year they are, because we have the data to prove it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So let's get into our next week's picks. The first one is the Thursday night game. And that is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers playing the Chicago Bears. What's the line here?
So right now they have it at the Bucs favored by 3.5 with an over under a 44.5.
Players to look at here. Tom Brady had his best game last week as a Buccaneer. Looking at Scotty Miller a lot. So I think he looked more comfortable in the offense, right? I think you can put it.
Yeah.
Right now, the Tampa Bay's defense is actually looking really solid. They're number two against the run. And it shows it. Teams are struggling to get anything going on the run. Rojo, 20 carries, 111 yards. Fournette's out. McCoy's hurt. They're both ankle injuries. So it looks like it's Rojo's backfield. Will we see a heavy dose of that, or will we see a heavy dose of what we saw last week with Brady putting the ball up in the air? What do you think?
I mean, with Godwin being out, mm-hmm. with Watson being out, mm-hmm. losing your tight end, I mean, Gronk will be involved more. Brady will be involved more.
Agreed.
The Pat Vaughn, we know he's going to be involved more in the offense, especially since they probably can't trust Rojo to catch the ball. And I just feel like I guess you can say Brady's getting more comfortable in the offense, but maybe he's just has more time to throw the ball, because I think that's what he hasn't had before. Everybody was
glad talking you about. Said that. And real quick, before you finish your point, I wanted to add this, because I started looking at, I said, in the trenches is really important, because that tells a story, right? If you win the trenches, normally you can win in the running game. You can protect the quarterback, right? You can sack the quarterback when you're on defense. So I looked up the offensive lines, and I said, I want to see the adjusted sack rate, right? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers have the sixth best pass protection offensive line in the league.
Yeah, so, I think what happened to them against, I mean, let's be honest, the Bucs are 3-1. Mm-hmm. For as much as we made fun of them week one against the Saints, mm-hmm. who's in a better position right now, the Saints or the Bucs?
I would say they're, yeah, if you're looking at trends, Tampa's
if equal,
looking,
if equal, if not, the Bucs are trending more up than the Saints are.
I agree.
But, and again, it was the pass rush. They had Brady on back there uncomfortable, throwing pick six and stuff like that. I think he's getting back into this offense and really understanding, like, damn, I'm nice. You know what I realized too within this matchup is the last time these two played each other was in the Super Bowl.
Oh.
And Foles beat him. Remember? Eagles versus Patriots.
Got it. Oh, I you know, that one totally. You know what I had here? I had, this is, if I'm looking at the quarterback head coach duo, right? If you're looking at that and you normally pick the best duo, I wrote down Brady and Arians, and then Nagy and Foles. But I didn't make that correlation right there.
Yeah, is Brady pissed off still? Like, oh, is this a revenge game? Is Brady going to come out here and throw 5, 6, 7 touchdowns to prove a point?
I mean,
I could see this being possible. Way over. They got this at 44.5. I think that's very low.
I agree. Go
back and forth all game.
These are two good defenses. I think these are different types of defenses, whereas Tampa's more of a better run defense. Chicago's a better pass defense. They're ninth in yards. On the offense, it's like even Foles is kind of, he's had whatever juice it was that Trubisky was taking, because they have almost identical completion percentage and almost identical quarterback ratings. You don't like that. You do like the fact that Foles seems to sprinkle the ball around. But it almost feels like he locked on a Mooney.
Yeah.
Right? So you want to see him look at – if you're going to lock on to anyone on that team, and it's not because you have him in fantasy, Ryan.
Yeah.
If you're going to lock on to one person and force targets to one person on that offense, it's not Jimmy Graham. It's not Mooney. It is Allen Robinson.
Yeah, and I think the last drive of the football game, if you watched last week, the Bears versus the Colts, mm-hmm. the Bears literally just drove down the field, maybe because the Colts were playing super soft coverage, mm-hmm. but they literally targeted Allen Robinson on almost every single play and made it look easy. For me, it's just frustrating sometimes just watching these play callers make plays and wondering, what the hell are you thinking? What are you thinking? Just get the ball in your best players. This is why I love guys like Andy Reid, because he doesn't play games, man. He comes out, he puts his guys in position to succeed, and it's going to be impossible to stop these elite-level talent. I mean, I feel like the Bears get cute.
Yeah. I will say Montgomery's looking really good.
Yeah, he's all around back.
Yeah, he looks really, really good. And that is, you know, that piece, maybe the Cohen injury helped them so that they can give Montgomery that role, because he's looking really good in that role. I don't expect him to do much on the ground. If he does anything, of course, same status quo as what we've told you with Tampa's run defense. You expect the running back to do something in the air, maybe.
Yeah.
But the ground yards, don't expect much. I'm picking Tampa here because I'm going to get Brady to keep rolling. Again, I'm going to choose the better quarterback coach combo in this matchup.
Yeah, I'm taking Tampa as well. Just to touch on the fantasy point side, these two are both top five least points allowed to the quarterback position. So they might just be going back and forth. These defenses are a little underrated. Mm-hmm. And as far as receivers go, and the Bears do play really well against the wide receiver. They only allow the second most fantasy points to the wide receiver position. But it's hard to say that Mike Evans is pretty much matchup proof at this point. You can't really guard him. He's a physical monster out there.
Right.
So I'm starting Mike Evans every single where. I'm starting Scotty Miller everywhere.
You don't start Mike Evans because you expect him to get 11 catches for 150 yards, though he's capable. You start him because he is a red zone monster. He's a red zone monster. You throw it up and I'm going to make a play.
Yeah, he'll have, like he did in week 3, 2 catches for 2 touchdowns and 2 yards. And you'll be So, yeah, no, I'm taking the Bucks. I think they're just more overall veteran team. They're both 3-1, so this is going to be a good game.
Yeah, it will be a good game. And for once, we get a good Thursday night game.
Yeah, we need
it. Well, on paper, because they've been entertaining for, I mean, you know, football. Yeah. You know,
I mean, fantasy wise.
The next game we have is the Carolina Panthers, who's 2-2, surprising, going up against the Atlanta Falcons, who are 0-4. Yet another game that they blew a lead, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, not really. They played the Packers. They never really had a chance.
Oh, okay, they never had a chance in that one. In this one, I mean, you know, they showed who they were when they played a good team. Even that offense can't keep up because that good team is going to run the ball methodically, run your defense down, which is what the Packers do. They frustrate you with the big play. Atlanta right now looks like the most confused defense in the NFL.
I agree. Right now they got the line at Atlanta by 1.5, and it's 54.5 total. It seems pretty reasonable. For me, Carolina still has to prove a lot to me. These last 2 wins are cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, we were talking about it before. Maybe we did underrate this team as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Coaching staff getting more comfortable. I just still don't trust Teddy Bridgewater. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Maybe, like, let's not go and put them on the on a contender level yet.
Teddy Bridgewater is still Teddy Bridgewater.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the receivers are still not a threat to me. Mike Davis is Christian McCaffrey Jr. at this point.
I'm going to give you numbers real quick, and I want you to guess who this is on this Carolina team. Okay?
Yeah.
I have 41 carries, 156 yards, and 3.8 yards per carry and 4 rushing touchdowns.
Is that Mike Davis?
That's Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, wow.
Mike Davis is 30 carries, 131 yards, or 4.37 yards per carry, a rushing touchdown, but he also has a receiving touchdown. And obviously, that's in picking up game action from week 3.
Yeah.
So it's a pretty, you said McCaffrey Jr. It's a pretty good comparison. We're not saying he's on the same skill set, obviously.
Is McCaffrey a system player?
You know, you'd like to think that his physical skill set makes a difference. But Mike Davis, man. He stepped in and he's producing. He's
looking like plug and play, whoever you put any running back in.
Exactly. Speaking of plug and play, you hope that you drafted Robbie Anderson. Is he a wide receiver one? 34 targets, 28 catches, 377 yards.
Yeah.
One touchdown, though. So is he right now, first quarter of the year, is he a wide receiver one?
Statistically, I think he is, but he's not even the wide receiver one on his team. So. As far as depth goes, they still have DJ Moore, and I guess Samuel's the wide receiver too. They had brought him in as a deep threat,
mm-hmm.
something that the New York Jets obviously don't know how to do, is get involved with these players. And again, Adam Gase.
Yeah, but it's not like the Jets would hit 3 targets, 3 catches for 70 yards, right? Like, so because he hit on one of those catches.
Yeah.
They're actually giving him enough targets to where he can get comfortable and making him run more routes than just the go route.
Yeah, I think they're doing a better job getting him involved for sure.
Yeah. Carolina's defense, another thing we failed to mention is that this is a division bout. And in the last 10 games, Atlanta has won 8 games. So including the last 2. So, you know, recency bias, if you want to say, because it was Kyle Allen last year. You know, Atlanta maybe looked better. I think they were in position to get to the playoffs last year. This doesn't quite look like the same team defensively. What do you think about Atlanta? What are you looking at in terms of their offense, for instance.
The only way, look, last week Atlanta played the Packers and their run game looked the best it has all season. Todd Gurley probably put up his best performance of the year in a losing effort, but I think it was, you just couldn't do that against the Packers. They just have too much firepower. Against the Carolina Panthers, maybe that works this week. I see the only way the Falcons win this game is running the ball consistently. Mm-hmm. The Panthers, we say this every single week, are one of the worst teams against the run. They give up the fourth most points to fantasy running backs. And on the flip side, they give up the fourth least to quarterbacks. So you can't, Matt Ryan, you got to turn that ego off. You can't come into this game thinking you're going to throw to Calvin Ridley 20 times, Julio Jones 20 times if he plays, Gage, all these guys. You guys have to try to run this ball,
yes,
keep Carolina off the field,
mm-hmm,
and try to win a low-scoring game for once in your life. Like, why do you have to put up 30 points every week and be in these battles?
Yeah.
I like Gurley a lot this week if they can try to come out and do that. If not, this coach is on the hot seat.
Oh, he should be again,
he should, he's not making it out of this week.
I do want to say that Atlanta's defense is easy to pick on, obviously 31st in every single statistical category, pretty much, when you look at the per game average. The one thing you look at that stands out is that they're 10th in the league in rushing yards against. And now, is that because they're actually good? Or is it because teams just don't need to run on them?
Yeah, because they just abuse them over there.
Yeah. Most touchdowns allowed passing, the Atlanta Falcons defense with 13. So
Can Bridgewater be that though?
Yeah, is that because it looks like maybe Mike Davis won't have those running lanes? They'll most likely involve him in the passing game. So, but can Bridgewater out-duel Matt Ryan?
Yeah, it's going to be a really good game. I'm excited to actually see this game and
yeah,
see how it comes out.
Who did you pick for this
game? I'm taking Atlanta solely because, I mean, home, I feel like they're due. I don't trust Teddy Bridgewater. Matt Ryan, I don't know, man.
I don't trust Teddy Bridgewater.
I don't. I really don't. I'm a show and prove guy. Bridgewater has not showed me anything.
Yeah.
They've beaten pretty average teams. Mm-hmm. The Atlanta Falcons suck. I'm not picking them because they're good. I'm picking them because I don't trust Carolina.
Yeah.
I feel like these last two wins have been a facade. Both of these teams could be 0-4, and I wouldn't be surprised. But I'm just taking Atlanta because I just trust their experience over Carolina's experience. I feel a young coach, quarterback who's, I mean, have somewhat of experience, but I don't know. And it'll be close. It's not like Atlanta's going to come out here and blow them out.
Yeah.
I feel like whoever has the ball last might win this game.
Well, I'm picking Carolina for almost the opposite reason, because I don't think that head coach has shown anything, to be honest.
I agree.
And even this young coach in Carolina has already shown to be a better coach. The guy's a defensive coach. He came in and he's consistently had the worst defenses in the league. This year, they can't keep a lead to save their life. So even if they did have a lead on Carolina, there's no way that they've shown me that they can hold that lead and beat Carolina. Mm-hmm. I see two wins on Carolina's ledger. I don't see any on Atlanta's. That's why I'm choosing Carolina.
I agree.
But it's like you said, this one is more of a – this is probably one of the coin flips all of this, of the entire slate.
Yeah, no, exactly. It's a pick 'em. Vegas has it as a pick 'em. They know. Those teams that came back against Atlanta had Dak Prescott as quarterback,
mm-hmm,
and Matt Stafford, or who was the other quarterback that came back and beat Atlanta?
Russ. Has Russ played Atlanta? No.
Was it Chicago? Yeah, Chicago Bears.
Oh,
Nick Foles is a Super Bowl MVP.
But you know, Nick Foles is you know.
I'll take Nick Foles over Teddy Bridgewater.
I will say this. Nick Foles, does he do what Bridgewater did last year where he kept New Orleans in the race when Breeze went down?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I give Bridgewater a lot of, you know, that's something that maybe goes like unnoticed.
Yeah.
You know, and
is that the coach or is that the player?
He somebody has to do it.
Yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I'm not saying he didn't do it. Obviously, he did it. Yeah. But could Taysom Hill have done that?
No. Absolutely not.
Yeah. I just feel like that's a Hall of Fame coach. Hall of Fame coaches makes players look better.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he got Teddy Bridgewater paid. Bridgewater didn't get himself paid.
I mean, you know, Bill Belichick's a Hall of Fame coach. Tell him to turn Stidham into.
Oh no, yeah, no. But that's just bad talent. Bridgewater's good. I just still don't trust him.
I like Bridgewater. I trust him. I love Matty Ice. I think he's one of my favorite players in the league. I love his grit. You know, I feel for him that he's never had a defense, and that's I can't root for that defense, man.
Nah, yeah, I agree.
It's too bad. So, moving on to the next matchup, we're going to a division bout between the Kansas City Chiefs and the Las Vegas Raiders. Kansas City's 4-0, Las Vegas coming off a loss to Buffalo. What's the line?
This is insane. They got the Chiefs favored by 13.5.
Wow.
And the over-under is 56.5. I don't know if you remember this last year. The Raiders came out against Kansas City, and I think they were like up 14-0, 10-0, and everybody was very excited. Mm-hmm. 3 minutes later, the Chiefs were up 31 to whatever. I don't care how much of a lead you got against Kansas City. It's not safe. Nothing's ever safe.
I went back the last 12 games. Kansas City's 10-2.
Bro, Kansas City might go undefeated this year.
You look at the calendar, and you don't want to look too far ahead. But, you know, if you, like, close one eye and look at the immediate future, it looks like they're probably – that win streak's not going to be over for a while.
13.5 points is a lot.
That's a lot of points. And, you know, the Raiders, for instance, you know – they started off good. The way they looked against New Orleans, you thought, man, this team turned the corner. And then the last few weeks, they played, you know, playoff caliber competition. And is it Derek Carr?
I think they just have a lot of injuries.
Mm-hmm. The offensive line is in shambles.
All their receivers, or at least their good receivers, are all hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Darren Waller left out there to fend for himself. They got Josh Jacobs, who's a great player, but he can only do so much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be hard to keep up with the Chiefs, man. The Raiders, I'm scared because I have to play CH this week, and I know he's going to go off.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders allow the most points to fantasy running backs. We always say start your running backs against the Raiders.
Sir. Yeah,
so I love CH this week. I'm expecting him to go off.
Yes, sir.
But I don't have much to say about this game. The Raiders started out hot, and these injuries are maybe hurting them more than they expected.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs are too hot, man. I'm taking the Chiefs.
Yeah.
What else do you have to add to this?
The Chiefs are just beating teams however teams want them to be beat. If you want us to blow you out, we'll blow you out. If you want us to pass, we'll pass. If you want us to run, we'll run. Right? You want us to play a low-scoring game? We can kick field goals. I just feel like they can morph and play to. That's a dangerous sign of a team.
That's a Super Bowl team.
Yeah, you don't think, oh well, if we take the Chiefs' passing game away, there's nothing. Andy Reid will figure out a way to do end arounds, jet sweeps, creative, all of these different plays. Andy Reid's he's never caught off guard. That's why I agree with you. I'm not sure we're going to see this team lose for a while. One last thing about Kansas City's defense, I want to show some love. Third against the pass, second in points, and defense has only allowed 4 passing touchdowns.
Yep, third best against fantasy quarterbacks. Yes. So, Eric Carr, you're going to have a long one, my man.
Another thing I want to say is that they're spreading the love there. 5 receivers over 100 yards receiving. That's pretty cool.
And on KC?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So we're both taking KC. I'm not sure if you're gonna deviate from it, but
absolutely not. I'm not picking against KC all year.
Amen. All right, so let's move on to the next one. The next one is a good one.
Another doozy.
The next one is it is a doozy, right? You know why though? Because I know you're a Washington football team fan, and you correct me when I say the red, you know. The old name. But when you look at Haskins as a quarterback, you told me from the beginning, if Kyle Allen is on this team, he should start.
I was waiting for the day that we'd name him the starter. After week one, maybe I got tricked into thinking that we actually had a chance to compete.
Mm-hmm.
But we played the Eagles, who are beating teams by luck at this point. They don't deserve any wins, to be honest. The 49ers should be disgusted in themselves. If you're a 49ers fan, shame on you.
Shame on you. So we got the LA Rams 3-1. Kyle Allen, Ron Rivera, what's the line?
So right now they have it at the Rams favored by 7.5 and an over under of 45.
Mm. It's a curious line.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't go up a little bit more with Kyle Allen playing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, Kyle Allen looked pretty decent last year in Carolina. Again, was it the system or was it the talent? We don't know.
I meant to have this, and I'm sorry that I'm going to give you, like, you know, jumbled information, but I read this stat that Jameis Winston led the NFL in plays that resulted in turnovers or turnover-worthy plays. I guess there's this metric, and they can measure that. The number two person on that list was Kyle Allen.
Yeah.
I could not believe that. I felt like he was low on picks for quite a while, but I do remember that he threw multiple picks, like in the Green Bay game last year. Mm-hmm. I think he had like 3 picks he threw, and we were surprised. But what do you think about when you think about McLaurin and Sims and Gibson? What do you think happens to them with a Kyle Allen at quarterback?
I think their value goes up. He can actually throw the ball downfield and is not afraid to. That's why he had so many damn picks last year.
Mm-hmm.
He does through when he came in, DJ Moore's value last year shot up. I don't know if this is the week that McLaurin is going to shoot up again. He always has garbage time points, so it's going to look good at the end of the day. But the Rams do give up the fourth least amount of points to the receivers. They have pretty decent cornerbacks.
7 best pass defense according to the yards.
Jalen Ramsey and those guys over there. I mean, the only team they've lost to is the Buffalo Bills, who look like they have one of the best passing games in the NFL. The Rams get another easy matchup and might just fall into 4-1 record as a result of playing no competition. They've beaten the Giants, the Eagles, and the Cowboys, and they're about to beat the Washington football team. They pretty much beat the whole NFC East.
Yeah, the Rams right now, maybe it's because of the line, it's a combination. Third best run blocking offensive line in the game. 10th best in pass protection. So that's pretty good. When you look at Washington, it's the complete opposite. The 29th rank run block offense. The 23rd rank pass protection offense. So that's not a recipe for success when you have Donald on the other side. Washington's offense, everything across the board, it's, you know, 30th in run, 30th in pass, 26th in points. It's not something pretty to look at. It's the Rams. Teams like this, I'm curious to see what Kyle Allen, this is an excellent test, throw him right into the fire. Alex Smith is in the wings warming up. he's the backup now.
I do not want to see Alex Smith on the field.
We're both taking the Rams, right?
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to the next matchup. The next matchup is Jacksonville Jaguars, the 1-3 Jacksonville Jaguars, going up against the Romeo Crennel Houston Texans. Bill O'Brien, if anyone's heard the news, was fired from his head coach and GM position. They will replace the GM position. They've named Romeo Crennel, who is the defensive coordinator, right?
Yep, interim coach.
Interim coach. So what kind of team are we going to get? Are they going to unlock maybe Watson? What do you got here? What's the line?
So they have the Texans favored by 6.5 with an over-under of 54.5. We got a division game.
Yep.
Another battle. Look, Watson is a great quarterback. We've been saying it all year. This coach had a bunch of screws loose up there. I don't know what he was doing. If you would have told me he would have been the first coach fired, you would have shocked me. I definitely thought Case would have been fired before him, the Falcons guy. I just feel like they're just doing that bad. But this team wasn't too far behind. But again, it was because of the matchups. They had some very tough matchups to start the year. Mm-hmm. So not so much favorable. But now they get a easier matchup against the Jacksonville Jaguars, who Minshew seems to throw the ball to the other team more than he does to his receivers. and they don't like to run the ball, which is probably their best thing that they have. So
yeah,
this is another – they're like the AFC Atlanta Falcons.
Wow. Hmm.
Same kind of concept. DJ Chark, those other receivers, Conley. They're kind of built the same exact way. Oh. Decent running backs, quarterback who can make plays. Minshew a little bit more mobile. Matt Ryan's old as heck now, but I feel like the coaching staff is almost similar. Like,
So if you look at Houston's offense and defense, right? There's one thing that I circled when I researched them. Their run defense is horrible, dead last in the league. Their rushing offense is dead last in the league. Normally, when you try to build a football team,
you want to be good at those things.
If you look at those last four teams standing, that almost never happens with those last four teams.
Yeah, that's why I love James Robinson this week.
Yeah,
the Texans
fire up James Robinson.
They give up the third most fantasy points to the running back position. Mm-hmm. But again, bad teams aren't going to do what's good for them. This is why Jacksonville is what they are. They're hard headed. They want to try to beat you and show you that, oh, we can pass all over the no. Yeah. All you have to do is hand the ball off and keep your defense off the field, because apparently it's not good.
Yeah.
At least Houston has a better defense. That's one of the main reasons I like Houston in this game. Not because I think they're a good team, but I just think they're a better team than the Jacksonville Jaguars. And they probably pull it off at the end of the game. It's going to be a closer game than 6 points. I think 6 points is a lot.
I looked at that and I said, wow, that is a lot. Exactly. If I was picking with the points, I would not like that right there.
Yeah. It'll be a field goal game like these games usually are. Let me check what their matchup was last year.
Houston has the worst pass block offensive line, according to the metrics. Jacksonville is middle of the road. Their pass offense is 10th. Houston's pass defense went from 3rd to 15th in 1 week.
Mm.
Something to note. So, Chark, you know, you got guys like that. Maybe that'll keep him in the game. I will say that Houston is 10-2 in their last 12 matchups. So, considering that it's a division game, considering that this is Watson's chance to maybe show that, you know, maybe who knows what the situation was with O'Brien. Apparently, you know, the yelling and the screaming and you know how he is, the boisterous. It wasn't really working when they were losing. It was working when they were winning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that note, did we both pick the same team? We both picked Houston?
We're taking the Texans at home.
Mm-hmm.
In a division game. With a new coaching staff. I like Romeo Crennel.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they'll come and try to run the ball more. This will be a running game. You can temper expectations both for Deshaun Watson, Minshew, the whole passing offenses on both sides. Mm-hmm. This is going to be – we're going to hand the ball off. I wouldn't be surprised if both running backs have 15-plus carries this game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of David Johnson. And expect that defense to play a little tighter.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like this could be a little spark. You know, the new coach spark that you get. This could be it right here for Houston. You ready to go to the next game?
Yeah.
All right. So the next game is the 4-0 Buffalo. This is obviously a COVID game right here. We have to right now another positive test, right, for Tennessee.
Yeah. Corey Davis. I don't know if you saw that. Corey Davis.
He is put on the COVID list. Okay, so the 4-0 Buffalo Bills go to Tennessee to play the 3-0 Tennessee Titans, who just had a postponement, so they had a bye week enforced on them with Pittsburgh. What's the line here?
Right now, there is nothing. I don't think they can assume because they don't know if it's going to be playing. So, I mean, Vegas is being a little smart this week. Last week, they had bets on this Chiefs, and I don't, as of right now, there's nothing on FanDuel or nothing with points wise. Yeah. Maybe I get the look on some other sites to try to get a thing while you talk about.
On Buffalo, when you're looking at Buffalo, the first thing that stood out, I like looking at the team first, offense and defense. 403 receiving yards by Stephon Diggs. Even I'm surprised that it's going so well so fast. Not so well, but so fast, right? That chemistry with Josh Allen's only getting better. Keep playing Call of Duty because it's working, I guess. The Bills defense, the rush defense is championship caliber. Like, not Super Bowl, but I'm talking about, playoff contender caliber. It's eighth in the league. Now, when you think of Buffalo Bills defenses, normally you think of good pass defenses. They're 27th in the league right now. I expect that to change. Although Trey White, back issues, he missed practice. Levi Wallace is going on the IR. So their cornerback position is a little dinged up. The Buffalo Bills, obviously on offense, number two when it comes to passing yards, number five in points. That's really good to see for a Bills fan. Total yards is fourth overall. So when you're looking at the Bills offense, you don't expect this at all. On the Tennessee side, coming off of a bye week, a forced bye week, what do you see on them on their side?
So Tennessee, you're losing Corey Davis, who came out the gate pretty hot.
And Humphreys,
AJ Brown, is he playing this week?
COVID. Humphreys is on the COVID list too.
Yep. And is AJ Brown playing this week? Because if not, then they'll have no receivers.
I think limited practice.
So they'll probably suit him up just because they're going to need him. Not for any other reason, but they're going to have to try to run the ball against this Buffalo team and try to keep that Buffalo offense off the field because they're on fire right now. You can't afford to try to keep up and play, keep up with the Buffalo Bills, for lack of a better word, because they're making it seem. I was joking with you when I said they're like the dollar version of the Kansas City Chiefs right now.
They are, though. I'll take it.
They're looking pretty damn good.
I'll take that as a compliment.
Yeah, Josh Allen is moving the ball through the air, on the ground. You hope he can keep making great decisions and not be bonehead Josh Allen.
Yeah.
If everything goes right and they actually do play this game, I can see the Bills like pulling this out in a close one. Like I said, there's no, they don't even have it on DraftKings, the game. That's there's wild. No spreads, there's nothing for it.
How about you create one? Give us one.
If I had to make one, I would say Buffalo would be favored. Tennessee is home, so it might be like a
2.5
minus point. One, minus 2.5.
Okay.
I
can see 2.5 points.
With like an over under of like, Buffalo now.
48 and like a half.
49, 50, around there, right around the 50 mark.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But Buffalo definitely would be favored. It would either be a pick 'em or by a field goal.
Yeah, I can tell you Buffalo's not going to try to run the ball.
Yeah.
they run it. And they can run it. The offensive line is pretty good.
But their run game is Josh Allen.
Yeah, they play action more. I think they run four wide receiver sets more than anyone in the league. They play action almost more than anyone in the league. They motion almost more than anyone in the league. It's a beautiful thing to watch. Brian Daboll, he's going to be on the head coach watch.
Yeah.
Tennessee's offense. Tennessee's offense across the board is solid, surprisingly solid. The defense is what you don't expect from a Vrabel team. So will they clean it up? They just had their bye week. Maybe some players got a little healthier. How many players did they lose, right? Like how many important pieces did they lose? Because we don't know that yet, do we?
I forgot what the number was. I actually read it today. It was like double digits of people who players and personnel who've gotten COVID. It was double digits.
That's got to affect you. That's got to affect you in some way.
Yeah.
So Tennessee, I like Tannehill's grit when this team, Henry's a warrior. So I expect him hard fought game, throw up a touchdown. But I still see the Buffalo Bills pulling this one off.
Yeah, I'm taking the Bills in a close game. I'm hoping this game gets played because I want to see these teams play and I want to see Derrick Henry run.
Yeah, I think right now it's Thursday. We're waiting for we're waiting for the results today.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so let's go over to the next game. This should be a doozy, I guess.
A quick
one. We got the Arizona Cardinals going up against the New York Jets. What's the line here?
So they have the Cardinals favored by 7 with an over-under of 47.5. I thought the Cardinals would be favored by more, but these are the Cardinals who are coming off 2 straight losses. So tempering expectations,
yeah,
even against the Jets.
Yeah.
But what are you thinking of Kyler Murray, man? What's your take on him so far this year?
I love the way Kyler Murray plays. I just feel like
football.
Huh?
For fantasy purposes or for football purposes?
Both.
Okay.
I just think that that offense gets too creative for its own good.
Yeah.
I think that sometimes they're doing things that are totally unnecessary. I feel like then they overcompensate when they want to run and they get super predictable. So maybe it's the adjustment, the air raid. It's still, this is the second year installing the system, still his second year. So you like to see the progression, right? I just feel like he is a playmaker through and through. He's proven it. He's doing more with his legs this year. And I think he has taken a step forward of passing. You'd like to see him pull away with these W's, though, against the teams that you're supposed to beat.
I agree.
Right. And in the end, as the quarterback, that falls on your shoulders.
Yeah, I think he just tries again, the superhero cape where he tries to show people that he's better than he really is. He's a great player. You don't have to prove anything. Just do this. Don't make these, like, he's still making rookie mistakes against the Lions. The reason they lost for the most part was because he threw 3 picks against the Panthers. They haven't established the run at all. I don't know if this is the week that you try to establish the run against the Jets, who are probably the only thing they can do is stop the run.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Melvin Gordon lit him up last week, but I think that was more off of a big play than anything. But
yeah, Kenyon Drake, I have no faith.
We're on Kenyon Drake watch.
Yeah,
I don't know where he's at this year.
Chase Edmonds, when he's on the field, Chase Edmonds looks explosive. He's great with the ball in space. I just don't feel like this is the same Kenyon Drake we saw last year. So at what point do they give more work to Edmonds? We'll see. I still feel like Kenyon Drake has got it in him, right? But windows
closed. I feel like, you know what's hurting Drake the most when I really think about it, is Kyler Murray running the ball more. Kyler Murray is probably averaging about 70, 65 yards a game. That's taken away from Kenyon Drake. He's taken away those red zone looks.
Yeah, he's cutting the field shorter.
And then they're expecting it to run, and Kyler Murray's throwing the ball or he's scrambling for a touchdown. So it's definitely hurting his value a lot. I thought it would help Drake. It might be hurting him right now.
Yeah, I mean,
Kyler Murray might be doing the most.
the difference also, yeah, he's running the ball more. He's cutting the field shorter. I just wish that with those touches that he's getting now, that they're at least those touches look better.
Yeah,
you know. But we'll see. There's still hope, and it's the remedy for a 2-game losing streak is the Jets. So you got Joe Flacco coming in, and Le'Veon Bell, who's on the IR practice. So the clock starts for him, you know, to come back. It looks like Sam Darnold cannot play from that shoulder injury.
Yeah. Is anybody on the Jets startable in fantasy?
Yeah, they have the
Berrios?
Jeff Smith.
Uh-oh.
PPR. Jeff Smith is a PPR guy. They look for him a lot. I'm not going to say Frank Gore, don't worry.
Yeah, the Cardinals are third best against the wide receiver when it comes to points. They allow the third least amount, so this is why I don't draft anybody from the New York Jets, so I don't have to think about this stuff. On the Arizona side, you're starting the guys that you drafted for the most part, and then you go from there. I think the Arizona Cardinals should win this game. Will they win this game? I wouldn't be shocked if they lost, to be honest. This might be one of those games the Jets come out of here and win, but I'm picking the Cardinals.
Yeah, no way.
I'd rather be shocked than pick the team wrong.
Yeah, Adam Gase. That's all you need to know.
How many more weeks before Gase gets fired? They said they're going to keep him for the whole year. That's what they said. So I guess we can be off of that.
I think
I think the owner's gonna stick to his word and not fire him.
Yeah. Respectfully.
Yeah. Let's go to the next matchup, and it's the Battle of Pennsylvania. It's the 1-2-1 first place Philadelphia Eagles, who just beat the San Francisco 49ers, going up against the 3-0 Pittsburgh Steelers coming off their forced COVID bye week. What's the line?
You got the Steelers favored by 7 with an over under of 44. Man, don't you feel like that's kind of low? 7 points?
Oh, man, I feel like those are traps.
So low.
That's a trap.
How are the Eagles winning games?
I don't know, man, but that's a trap, bro. That's a trap. I don't know how Wentz does it, but
he wasn't even
makes it a game, man. He somehow,
didn't the Eagles have a pick six last week or a defensive touchdown?
Yeah, they did.
So, I mean, they're going to need something like that again. I don't see Big Ben making a mistake like that. No. Didn't Slay get hurt? I don't know if he came back. I don't know what his...
I'm not sure if he did. The pass defense still held up relatively well. It'll hold up when you got guys like Mullins and C.J. Beathard out there, too. So, Pittsburgh, you know what you love to see when you look at Pittsburgh? Number two defense in yards, number one defense in rushing yards, number 12 in passing, which is super respectable, and then number 5 in points. The defense is still stout, and it's coming off of a bye week. The offense is still really good. And another thing that you know with a Tomlin offense, it looks like they're going back to it, is number 8 rushing offense.
Yeah, they run the ball a lot, man.
And they went back to stopping the run. We talk about formulas for success. The Pittsburgh Steelers, you look at their record, you're not so surprised when you look at the fact that they're controlling the line of scrimmage on offense and in defense.
Yeah, I'm tempering expectations for Miles Sanders this week. I just don't like this matchup. The Steelers, they made Saquon look when he was healthy, they made him look very average. Mm-hmm. He allowed the second least amount of points to the fantasy running back. Houston didn't do nothing against them. Denver didn't do nothing against them. The Giants didn't do nothing against them. So, I mean, I'm starting Miles Sanders anywhere I have him, but
yeah.
I'm not expecting 20 points unless he does catch it through the air.
So PPR, his value maybe drops a little bit, but he still has value. PPR.
Yeah, yeah. He's a good receiving back, so he'll still be a factor. But through the ground, he's going to be getting knocked down a lot.
Yeah, you look at some of the weapons that Ertz. you look at some of the weapons that Wentz has. Ertz has been the only person there. Now Alshon Jeffrey's practicing. DeSean Jackson's back. Those are things to keep an eye on, because now all of a sudden you're giving Carson Wentz weapons. You're making the defense not play so aggressive. Closer to the line, you have to respect DeSean Jackson over the top. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of things that go into this. So if those guys play, it changes what Philly's been showing us. And everything on the offense is shown you 28th in yards, 18th in rush, 27th in passing, and 26th in points. So that's nothing to brag about. The defense has been good, basically 10th across the board. So you like seeing that. Maybe the weapons coming back will make this. This is a tricky game. The 7, if we were picking with the spread, or the
points, yeah,
it would scare me that 7. But if we're picking straight up, I'm picking Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm taking Pittsburgh too. One thing to note as well is that I don't know who the Eagles receivers are at this point, mm-hmm. but the Steelers do give up the 5th most points to the wide receiver position, so.
If DeSean Jackson plays, you like DeSean Jackson.
Yeah. Miles Sanders, he'll be a key factor in the passing game because they literally can't stop the pass.
Yeah. They funnel
the passing game because they're so good at stopping the run. So.
And you know how Philadelphia's defensive line has been playing really well. One thing to note is that Pittsburgh, who always has a solid offensive line, is the 6th best in pass protection. So that's something really good to know there. They're keeping Big Ben upright and healthy. That's very important for the rest of the year. But we both got Pittsburgh. Let's keep it moving. The next game is AFC North bout between the Cincinnati Bengals, who are 1-2-1, going up against the Baltimore Ravens, who are 3-1. What's the line here?
I got the Ravens favored by 12.5, and then over under 51.5. Wow. So another division game. Expecting another blowout here. Baltimore.
So I wanted to, because of the division game, we love looking back. Man, Cincinnati hasn't beaten Baltimore in quite some time. I think it's like in the last 10 matchups, Baltimore is like 7-3 or something like that.
The last time they beat Cincinnati beat them was 2018. They beat them by 11 points, and then they beat them the year before that. So they haven't beat them since 2018. Split their 2018 matchups, and they lost both last year. So
yeah. So I mean, you know, you look at Baltimore, you look at Cincinnati. Cincinnati can be run on. Baltimore, that's what they're going to try to do. Lamar Jackson, you hear of that knee in practice. They say it's just precautionary. So will they maybe hand it off more this week, or maybe run less with Lamar? That's something to keep an eye on. Joe Burrow, how are you progressing? What are you going to give us this week? You're playing up your first game against Baltimore. Baltimore, surprisingly, I circled it here, man. Their pass defense has 26. Their past offense is 31st. That doesn't surprise you, but based on how Lamar played last year, you don't like seeing that.
No.
Second worst in terms of pass protecting. That surprised me for Baltimore.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like Lamar's always rushing his throws.
Mm-hmm. So, what else do you see here? Mixon's coming off his big game. You don't feel like he'll have a game like that in his career, but you like seeing Mixon finally join the party.
No, yeah, I'm excited. I'm happy for him as a person, but the Ravens, I mean, they're pretty good at stopping the run. I wouldn't say they're so good at stopping the pass. I can see Joe Burrow doing a little bit better this week. He's been doing well all season. Finally got his first win last week. But going into this division game against the Ravens, man, he just has to keep his head on for this game and move on to next week. Don't try to do too much. I think the Ravens win this one easily, and it won't even be close.
Yeah, and pass protection-wise, Cincinnati struggles there. Look for that Ravens pass rush to maybe rattle the rookie a little bit, or try to rattle him, because it looks like that guy's got ice veins. So this is a good test, I don't expect it to be one of those. Man, I don't think it's going to be, 12.5 points. Yeah, it could be one of those, actually. Just welcome to the league, Rook. AJ Green, it's like, nah, I just wanted to say AJ Green. Moving on to the next game, Miami, the 1-3 Miami Dolphins playing the 2-2 San Francisco 49ers, who just lost to the Eagles in a disappointing effort, too. Jimmy G's coming back or not. What's the line here?
They got the Niners favored by 8.5 with an over-under 49.5. Man, the Niners, Jesus.
Is this Tua watch officially?
I think I saw a report where they're talking about it. I'd be excited to see what Tua could do at this point. The Dolphins, we knew they weren't going to be a playoff team this year. I don't understand why Fitzpatrick gets get thrown out there. I'm not mad at it, but
I think it has
at more. What point do you I think they're trying to get the tough matchup. I wouldn't play Tua against the Niners. Right. Like, they're not the same Niners defense, but
no, they are actually. I mean, they're still good.
No, yeah, they're still top five against, but I'm saying they don't have like Bosa. Like, you don't have to worry about running away from Bosa and all of this stuff.
Yeah. That's a very good point. I feel like if Fitz has one of those typical Fitz moments where suddenly he can't hit a broadside of a barn. Halftime, I could see Tua. I think they also were waiting for him to get 100% healthy. Give him some time.
Yeah, it'd be a shame if he came in and got hurt again.
Yeah, exactly.
He looks eager and excited to want to come in. Every time I look on the sideline, I feel like he's got his helmet on, like he's going to come in. But as far as fantasy relevancy goes,
I don't think you pick. I don't even think you look at Tua for fantasy relevancy. You just look at him for that excitement. There's probably going to be ugly games, but you know, you want to see something different over there in Miami. You know, Fitz is cool and all, Fitz magic, but you know, if you're going to lose, at least let your future, you know, get some reps.
And in this game, if the Dolphins are going to try to beat the Niners, they better not try to run the ball, because the Niners are best against the running back when it comes to fantasy points. So Myles Gaskins, if you're starting him, you're not expecting much on the ground. The Niners are just really good at everything. They're good against the pass. I'm tempering expectations for Devontae Parker. I'm tempering expectations for Gesicki. The whole offense on the Dolphins, I'm tempering. But I could see them having to throw the ball a lot. So,
yeah.
We'll try to keep up with the Niners.
Yeah, definitely. The Miami offense, 27th ranked offensive line blocking. San Francisco, according to the metrics that I saw, second worst run blocking team. And that's surprising. I do like that to change this week. I feel like if Mostert comes back, even though maybe they won't give him the work that they normally would give him, I feel like they'll give him enough, that they'll give McKinnon less work. And I still think Jeff Wilson comes in maybe for the short yardage, or maybe to spell a little bit less. But I feel like this game right here, Jimmy G, welcome back. Sanu, you're gone. This is now Ayuk, Debo. Let's slowly work our guys in. Let's keep that run offense going. We don't really need him for Miami anyway.
Yeah.
Let's just do that. And I feel like the Niners are going to kind of reestablish that. So I'm picking the Niners here.
Nice.
You got anything else?
No, I'm taking the Niners.
All right. Jimmy G, is he coming back? That's still my thing. The next game is another one where we don't know. We don't have an over-under, but we do have a spread here, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have Denver Broncos and the New England Patriots. 1-3 for Denver, 2-2 New England. New England was without Cam Newton, and we saw what that team is like without Cam. And Denver might be getting Drew Lock back. What's the line?
So they got I don't understand this line. They got the Patriots favored by 8 points. That's a lot of points to be given to a team
with Stidham at the helm. Yeah. Because wait, Cam, is he allowed back to practice?
I'm not sure. I saw speculations where they said he isn't officially ruled out yet, but
I don't see how he can play this week.
Yeah, I don't know how he can play.
No, there's no
way. And the Patriots are going to be without their best player,
yeah,
Stephon Gilmore. So. It's going to be very sloppy. It's going to be a very sloppy game.
Yeah.
But look, on DraftKings, they don't even have this game on as well. Like, all these games with COVID issues, they learned from last week, and they're literally taking them off the board. You can't even bet these games. So
one thing when you look at the stats, in New England, fifth best run-blocking offense, that doesn't surprise you, is that the Cam effect, though. Maybe not, because Harris, 100 yards rushing last week, came back, took over for Sony Michel, looked really good. So Damian Harris is a thing, maybe. We got no Cam. How's that going to look? Stidham, man, not even Bill Belichick could get that to work, I don't think. And if he does, man, hats off to you. But some people just look good and get it. And what do you think of Stidham?
I don't think anything.
All right,
it didn't impress me.
No, right?
But again, now you're playing the Broncos, who they're literally going to come out and run the ball against this team. But again, the Broncos are really decent at stopping the run. They allow the fifth least amount of fantasy points to the running back position. So if you're expecting Harris to come out here and run for 100 yards and all of this stuff, I'm not expecting that at all.
I like that you said that, because Denver has only allowed 2 rushing touchdowns all year.
Mm-hmm.
They are 13th in yards allowed rushing. So maybe you get yards. Maybe you expect maybe flex kind of numbers from a running back instead of the don't really expect too many touchdowns, especially with who at quarterback. Because if it's Hoyer, you're licking your chops.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's Stidham, you're licking your chops.
Yeah.
Is it Drew Lock? Is it Rippin? Drew Lock, are you back? Because
these are both B teams playing this weekend.
Yeah.
I want to go in there, try to kill the clock as fast as they can and get out of there with a victory. This might be like a 17 to like 10 game, 17 to 7 game. Not a lot of points. That's why they don't even have an over-under, because they don't even know what they're expecting.
I know what's going to happen, and this is what's going to happen. New England is going to win, and they're going to win by like 20, like 24 to like 10 or something like that. And New England fans are going to say, "Oh, Super Bowl. We're back.
We're here.
We're back. Yo, Super Bowl." So I think that's what's going to happen until they play, you know, a playoff caliber team. Let's move on to the next game. We both picked New England, obviously. The next game is an NFC East bout. The 0-4 New York Giants going up against the 1-3 Dallas Cowboys. What's the line?
They got Dallas favored by 9.5 and over under 54. It's a lot.
9.5 for a team that has one of the worst defenses across the board.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. They are fourth worst against the quarterback in fantasy. Daniel Jones is somebody you might potentially be able to start. Whoever the Cowboys play,
mm-hmm.
they do give up a lot of points to the quarterback position.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they do give up a lot of points to the wide receiver position. I love Slayton this week. That's if you have him, I'm starting him everywhere. I love Slayton.
Oh, man, that's
I love him.
Interesting.
It's going to be another shootout. Dallas seems like they don't want to run the ball and kill clock. Mm-hmm. Again, the coach, I don't have a thing against him. I just don't think he's a good coach.
Yeah.
Good coaches try to win games. He's throwing every single game.
Yeah, you see the Dallas defense 30th in yards, 31st in run defense, 23rd in pass defense, and 32nd in points. But their offense is a stark opposite. It's first in total yards, 23rd in rushing, first in passing, and third overall in scoring. The Giants, what really kind of jumped out at me is that their defense is actually decent.
Yeah, they're a lot better than people think.
Yeah, their defense is fifth in yards, 10th in run, 6th in passing yards, and 12th in points. That's really good. But then you look at their offense, and it's 31, 31, 29, 32. Their offensive line is just atrocious.
Besides the Niners game, which got out of hand, they only allow 17 to the Rams, 17 to the Bears, and 26 to the Steelers. But to the teams that are like average, which the Dallas Cowboys are probably almost below average at this point, but they can potentially beat a team like this if they had more firepower on offense. They don't. They don't have Saquon. They have a quarterback who turns the ball over too much. And for that reason, I think the Cowboys are going to win this game. Not, again, because they're a good team. It's just because the team that are playing are even worse.
Yeah.
But I can see this is like a Zeke game to me. Definitely running the ball a lot more. If Mike McCarthy wants to be in Dallas next year, he needs to learn how to run the ball more. Feeding Pollard and Zeke, you can give them 15 carries each. Stop having Dak Prescott throw the ball 40, 50 times.
Keep your defense off. Keep your defense off the field.
His arm is going to fall off. My man is killing it so far, and I'm sure fantasy owners are happy. They don't want to hear me say that, but let's be real, man. You're not going to win games like that, and you still have a chance to win the division.
Yeah.
So if you're going to right the ship, you need to get this win and get out of New York and get to 2-3 and maybe even potentially be the leader in the division with the Eagles having to play the Steelers. So you got to run the ball more, man. Mike McCarthy, if you're watching this, run the damn ball.
Yeah. It's surprising to see Dallas at 23rd, right? Running. That's normally not
a recipe for success, but when you have a Dak, well, it's not working, so that isn't. It is he needs to
switch. Yards aren't translating to wins, so that means
they're not exactly. So what are you going to do about it? So the offensive line and defense, and if you look at the run and pass, Dallas is 10th, so you know they always have a solid. When you look at the Giants, the worst offensive line in football, just looking at the metrics that I have.
And that's probably why they don't want to run the ball.
Worst in run, and they're worst by a lot. Like, it's not even close. It's a full point lower than the next, than the 31st.
Man.
It's a full point. So, and then the fifth worst in terms of pass protection. So, fire up that defensive line from Dallas. They're going to wreak havoc. But you're right. I could seek some garbage time, maybe some work for Daniel Jones. But ultimately, I see Dallas getting their first win here.
Yep.
Let's move on to the next matchup. And the next matchup is the Indianapolis Colts, the 3-1 Indianapolis Colts going up against the 3-1 Cleveland Browns, who just beat the Cowboys in Dallas in exciting fashion. What's the line?
So right now they have it at the Colts favored by 1.5 with the over under 46. Man.
So they didn't know. Didn't know this one either. This is another one that could kind of go either way. But
another pick'em game.
I feel like this game right here is which one is a contender and which was a pretender.
And you know what my answer is.
I know that. Yeah. Oh, and we're both aligned. Cleveland, you know, you beat Dallas. Is that something to write home about?
No.
Indy has shown to be, and what we call this on the surface, when you look at this, you see, okay, this is the battle of the offensive lines, right? When actually Cleveland has, according to the metrics, Cleveland has the best run offense, the best run block, but 12th in passing, 12th pass protection. Their passing offense is 30th.
And that's going to be even worse because the Colts give up the least fantasy points to their quarterback position. Yep. And as good as that run offense is, if the Browns can come out and run the ball against the Colts, I'll be impressed because the Colts allow the third least fantasy points to the running back position.
Mm-hmm.
They're very stingy. They've
only allowed 6 total touchdowns this year.
On rushing and passing.
Total.
Yeah. We keep saying it. The Colts defense is flying under the radar.
Yeah. I think it's a better defense than the Ravens.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's not far-fetched. It's in the stats. Exactly. You know? Yeah. Yeah, you're right. When you look at Indianapolis defense, first, fourth in rushing, first in passing, first in points. Really good. On offense, you don't really need to be anything more than middle of the pack. 21st, 15th, 18th, 17th, you know, study like that. Rivers against Mayfield. This is pretty much this matchup, and I'm going to take Rivers on this every time.
Yep. I got a question for you.
What's up?
Dalvin Cook is a pretty good running back, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's been pretty much running all over every single team, right?
Absolutely.
How many rushing yards did he have against the Colts week 2? If you had to guess.
I know he got like 2-point conversions. I know he probably scored from close, so it maybe looked like he did good. But Indianapolis, looking at their numbers, it just doesn't look like they give up much. So I'm going to say he had, 75 rushing yards?
63 rushing yards.
Yeah.
You know who had the second most against Indy? You want to guess who it was?
Montgomery?
Montgomery had 27 yards rushing. Frank Gore had 57. James Robinson had 62.
Yeah.
They've played some pretty tough running backs.
Yeah.
But they've been shutting people down.
Yeah.
Unless you're scoring touchdowns against this team, you're going to be running into a wall. I know a lot of people are excited about Kareem Hunt this week. Rightfully so. Kareem Hunt is a special talent.
Yeah.
But, man, I'm shook when I'm playing the Colts defense.
Yeah,
I always tell you, this is a team I do not want to start players against this year. Yeah. I do not like it. Last week, I had Allen Robinson playing in fantasy. And if Henry was playing, I would have been benching Allen Robinson. He bailed everybody out with that last drive because he was shut down all game.
Yeah. OBJ, let's see if you can do it again.
All right, you want another stat?
Go ahead, go for
it. I got another game for you. Besides Allen Robinson last week, who finished with 7 for 101 and a touchdown, it made it look really good. He got 70 of those yards and a touchdown on the last drive. Who had how many? What's the most receiving yards against the Colts? Just the number, not even the player.
In that same game or before?
No, in all since the beginning of the year.
Oh,
just give me the number, not the player. I just want the number.
I would say 45 yards.
64 yards was the highest. You want to guess who that was? Just to save some time, I'll tell you. Braxton Berrios.
Yeah, I would. That's that on that broken play against
broken the Jets, play. Right? Yep. Yeah. And after him, Mooney.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham. Boy, he went for a rough one this week.
Yeah, I would. We like saying temper. Yeah.
Look, I always look at the Browns and they piss me off because they're such a gimmicky team. Mm-hmm. They got to do all these little trick plays, all these play actions, all these end arounds, all these receiver passes to try to even put points on the board. And it works. But it's not gonna work against teams that are disciplined. I want Jarvis Landry to try to throw a pass this week.
Yeah. Hooper again, you know, Cleveland's offense just temper. The one thing that surprised me about Indianapolis's offensive line, 28th ranked rush offensive line. Though it doesn't really surprise you because you look at Taylor's numbers, they're not really jumping off the page.
Nope. Touchdown dependent.
Fifth best pass blocking, though. So solid pass blocking, running not so much.
For once, Phillip Rivers has somebody who can keep him up.
Yeah, keeping
him
up.
He's been looking good.
He's decent.
I barely see him on the ground. You used to see Phillip Rivers on the ground all the time. I never see him getting hit.
That guy's having the time of his life. You like seeing it. In that case, we both picked Indy to win this one, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, Cleveland. 3-1, you're not going to trick me.
No. Fool me never. Shame on you. Going to the next one, it's Minnesota going up against Seattle. The 1-3 Minnesota Vikings going up against the 4-0 Seattle.
Sunday Night Football.
Yes, sir. What's the line here?
So we got Seattle favored by 7 and the highest over-under of the week, 57.5. That's got to be the highest of the year. I haven't seen nothing higher than that. I don't recall anything being higher than that.
57.5. We got a 56.5 out there.
This week?
Yeah. So that's pretty close.
That's a lot of points.
But because of Seattle's defense, 32nd yards, third rush defense. 32nd in passing and 21st in points. When you look at their offense, third in yards, 17th rush, and third in passing and second in points. That's pretty good. Another thing to note that Seattle's defense gives up all of those yards, but they're the ultimate bend but don't break defense. They've allowed the eighth least passing touchdowns in the league so far this year.
Yeah, they don't really allow receivers to score, but they allow receivers to get yards.
Yeah, you could get yards on them, and it's probably in part because Russ has been torching it. So you're forced to, like, try to keep up.
Okay, I got another game for you.
Go for it.
The Seahawks defense, as bad as they are against the pass, they're one of the best run defenses in the NFL. Can you tell me what's the most yards they've allowed on the ground so far, or if you had to guess?
If I had to guess, I'll tell you. They played New England. So Cam Newton?
No.
Okay.
He had 47 yards against them, but that's not the most. I just want the number. Give me like a
rough. Right. So give me – I like the number 75, man.
Yeah, that'd be nice. The most they've allowed is 56 to Todd Gurley week one.
Wow.
And the second most, besides Cam, Myles Gaskin with 40.
Yeah.
They don't allow you to run the ball against them. No. They want you. They'll put 8 in the box, 7 in the box, mm-hmm. and force you to throw the ball. Check this out. Most teams start 3 wide receivers, right? Mm-hmm. They played four games. So let's say about 12 wide receivers. Out of those 12 wide receivers, how many 100-yard receivers have there been out of the 12?
Against the Seahawks?
Yep.
All of them.
Seven out of 12. Seven out of the 12 eligible top three receivers have had 100 yards against them.
Yeah, all of them for me. I felt like it was all of them.
They made Julian Edelman look like a...
Oh, yeah. I remember that one, man.
He's a good player. Don't get me
wrong. And Jamal Adams is hurt, so he's not playing this week. Yep. On the Minnesota side, this is a game where you hope that Kirk Cousins could put up.
Yeah. He's a stream. Like, you can stream him this week.
Yeah.
I am, for sure.
Fifth run offense, shocker. Second best run blocking offensive line, according to the metrics. So it's no surprise that Kevin Stefanski's former team and current team are number one and two in offensive line metrics for run blocking, which is really good to hear and see. Justin Jefferson could be a thing. I had 100 yards receiving last week. It looks really good. He scored the highest grade for a wide receiver last week, according to Pro Football.
Thielen and Lockett are going to go off this week. This is my – I always like to go into the week trying to guess what the game script is going to be as far based off the numbers that we get. And from what I can see, I know Stefanski is – well, not Stefanski because he's not even there anymore. But the coach for the – is it Kubiak, right?
He's a
– offensive coordinator?
Yeah.
He's a very hard-headed person.
Yeah,
he thinks he's going to come out against the Seahawks and try to run the ball like he has against everybody else.
Absolutely.
But Seattle's going to come out to an early lead, whether it be 10-0, 14-0. Within the first quarter, I can see him scoring two touchdowns quick. They're going to have to abandon the run ASAP, and they're going to be throwing the ball to try to keep up with the Seahawks. And it's something that they're not comfortable with, but, I mean, Kirk Cousins is capable of throwing the ball all over.
Absolutely. Oh, no, especially against a defense like this where you force me to, like, try to catch up. You play soft coverage. Hell, yeah, I'm going to take these yards.
That's the only way I see Dalvin Cook really going off this week, because he's going to – he'll get 10 based off of yards alone. But
yeah,
talking about, like, the 20 that he's usually having, he's going to have to do it through receiving. And they have only allowed 47 yards the most to Rex Burkhead this year. And everybody else has been pretty much 30 yards or under. That's the only way, unless Dalvin Cook breaks a long receiving reception, I don't see him doing much on the ground, to be honest. And I'll name him later as one of my guys that I'm not really too high on this week as far as what he's used to doing. I really like him this week still. You're going to start him, but.
Yeah. You don't really, exactly. There's going to be behind. So if he gets involved in a passing game, that's probably how he provides his most of his value.
Yeah, you'll take him getting 15 this week for sure.
Yeah, I just like the how Russ has his team going too much. One thing to note that they did play last year in December, and Minnesota beat Seattle 30-27. That's a whole different Minnesota team that we're talking about here. There's no Stephon Diggs. The defense is a lot different for Minnesota. Seattle, for the most part, is the same team, right? Like the bend but don't break defense and Russ, except he's unleashed this year. So that's scary for Minnesota. look for the Seahawks to be a little bullish in this game and impose their will here and beat the Minnesota Vikings handily.
Facts, Seahawks.
Yeah.
All right, last game of the slate.
Monday night, we got the Los Angeles Chargers going up against the New Orleans Saints. What's the line?
They got the Saints favored by 7.5 and over under 51.
51 is fair, especially with the way is Tyrod coming back?
I haven't heard anything. I think it's still Herbert. I would have seen it more in the news if it was.
Herbert is slowly understanding this quicker than we thought.
He's a good quarterback, man. For me, when we look at young quarterbacks, I want quarterbacks who can throw the ball down the field. That's why I have issues with guys like Haskins and stuff like that, because they play scared. They play too safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, Herbert's going to make those mistakes. And that's why I like Josh Allen too. Yeah, he's going to make those mistakes. And eventually he'll get better at not making so many mistakes, and he'll be like, you know what? I'm going to live to fight another day. Mm-hmm. I'll take that over somebody who's going to be scared to try to throw the deep ball or doesn't even have the capabilities of throwing the deep ball.
Captain check down.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't want a quarterback like that on my team.
Yeah.
I need somebody who says, you know what, YOLO, I'm going to toss this up there, give my guy a chance.
Eckler being out for Los Angeles, that's a big loss for them. Kelly and Justin Jackson, what's the split going to be? And can they make up for that loss? Because that's a big piece on that offense. You look for Keenan Allen to, you know, do what he does. He looked like he had really good chemistry with Herbert, and you like to see that. The offense is pretty solid in yards. They're sixth, the Chargers, and that was pretty surprising. And in passing, they're seventh. That's not that's kind of surprising as well. 12th in rushing, though their offensive line, they've had problems. They're like middle of the pack, both pass blocking and run blocking. Their defense, they've allowed 8 passing touchdowns and 1 rushing touchdown. So that's something to note, because, you know, on the New Orleans side, we have Kamara having the year of his life. We have Drew Brees, probably the lowest average depth of target of his career. Michael Thomas is coming back, so that can maybe change things. What else do you see here that you want to call out?
On this, I think if you're going to try to beat the Saints, you're going to have to run the ball, keep them off the field. The Saints have only allowed 100-yard receiver this whole year, and that was Alan Lazard. They haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher either, so I'm not saying it's going to be easy.
Yeah. But
you have to try to establish the run. I get everybody's excited about Herbert, and they want him to keep throwing the ball, but the Saints defense is still good. Yeah. They have not yet allowed a 300-yard passer this year. They do allow a lot of passing touchdowns. But
yeah, I was just going to say that. 11 passing touchdowns and 4 yeah. rushing touchdowns. So you just got to get into the red zone. That's right? Like, it sounds easy, but you just got to get into the red zone.
Yeah, you got to try to stop the run here. I think you're going to need your defense to step up. I don't see how the Chargers – they don't have a defense that can step up. Bosa's out there fighting for that defense by himself, literally. Yeah. I mean, he can't do it alone.
Yeah, the defense actually, wow, these stats, they moved back from a week ago. They were middling to the 10th. Now it looks like they're getting closer to the 15s than 20s in the total yards. They're 19th rushing yards against, the 14th. Passing yards against, 25th and 11th in points. So they're still keeping the score relatively close, but you don't like that, especially when New Orleans is getting healthy. So I think we're going to see Monday Night Breeze, and we're going to see a Monday Night Breeze with Monday Night Thomas.
Just look what Brady just did to the Chargers.
Yeah. We're definitely going to see some fireworks in that game.
Should be fun.
Yeah, and we both have the Saints here. Nothing new. 7.5 could be low. I think 7.5 is low.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, man. We got through the picks.
I think we can get right into our studs.
Okay.
Literally, my stud, bust, and under the radar are same all matchup. Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah. Oh, same team.
Same exact team.
You want to start it off?
Yeah, so my stud this week is Adam Thielen. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep picking on the Seahawks.
You are picking on the Seahawks.
They've allowed 7 out of the 12 three receivers to go over 100 yards. Mm-hmm. They've given up the most fantasy points to the wide receiver position. And the opposing receivers in total, the number ones, are averaging 133 yards per game against them. I'm expecting at least 100 yards and about a 50% chance to get a touchdown here, but definitely the yards are going to be there.
Okay. My stud is CEH, and when you mentioned them, I was like, I'm glad you did, because Las Vegas is allowing the most fantasy points to the running back at 30 a game. CEH has had games, good games, because of the sheer volume and that offense that he operates. But I think this is the, hey, you know,
remember me from week one?
I'm still nice. Yeah, yeah. He's going to remind us.
This is still me.
Of course.
I got him getting 120 yards and a touchdown in this game.
Bet. My bust of the weekend. When I say bust, I mean to be performing less than what you're used to them doing. I don't think they're going to give you a zero, but
yeah.
Again,
for his standards, he'll be closer to his floor.
Yeah, and that's Dalvin Cook. The Seahawks allow the fourth least amount of points to the running back position. They haven't allowed a rusher to go over 56 yards all year in a game, which is alarming if you're Dalvin Cook. I'm expecting at least under 80 rushing yards and no rushing TDs. He might score in the air, but he's definitely not running in a touchdown.
Okay, so my bust is I got Miles Sanders, and it's funny how when you were doing we were doing the matchup, you mentioned Miles Sanders, that temper, right? Pittsburgh's defense is stingy. He maybe can give you some PPR value, but I'm going to give him less than 60 yards and no touchdowns in this game.
Nice. I like it. Once I saw your people, I was like, yep, makes sense. my under the radar pick, I'm going Kirk Cousins. I'm expecting them to have to throw the ball a lot, try to keep up with Seattle, who does give up the third most fantasy points to the fantasy quarterback. Mm-hmm. Their opposing quarterbacks, listen to this, are averaging 408.5 yards per game in the air and a touchdown and a half. I see Kirk Cousins getting 350 in the air and two touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I like the yards, and I like the fact that you didn't do four touchdowns.
No.
I like that you gave him two touchdowns, because that's
I'll take the over on the 1.5.
Yeah, exactly. That's just totally doable. So for mine, I had to clear my throat because mine left the team in New Jersey from a swamp with a terrible coach, and all they did was just send me deep. That's it. All they would do is just send me deep. I'd maybe get a few balls, and people saw that I can ball. And I said, you know what? I'm a wide receiver one. I'm going to go to Carolina. Right now, the team I'm playing, Atlanta, has given up the most passing touchdowns in the NFL, and they're 31st against the pass in terms of yards. So the secondary I'm facing has just lost one of their starting safeties or starting Casey from the secondary. Now they're down to their backup safeties because they've already lost two other starting secondary players. I lead the team in targets. I lead the team in catches. I lead the team in yards. I'm going to get 6 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. Robbie Anderson, you are under the radar.
Nice. I like it. Did you know that Matt Rhule was his college coach too?
Robbie?
Yeah. He went to Temple.
I heard of that from somebody, but I didn't know that. I didn't know from Robbie.
That's why he signed him.
Wow. I mean, he's using him.
Yeah, I mean, he recruited him, so I'm sure he knows what he's good at.
Yeah, that's good. It's good to see. Robbie Anderson seems like a good dude, man. Thank you for sticking with us. If you agree or if you want to share your picks, comment section below. And if you want to show us how you've been doing compared to how we've been doing up to this year, email us at thefantasystandardtfs@gmail.com, and we'll interact with you. Make sure you write a review if you're on a podcast platform. That's the only way we'll know how to tweak our show or if you love what we're doing. Again, we release our episodes twice a week. Ryan, anything else to add?
Nah, with that being said, man, I can't wait for these games to be played. Hopefully every single one gets played and these teams start taking COVID a little bit more serious and take a little bit more precaution so we can get this whole season for the sake of them and us
as
fans. But nah, man, I'm excited. We'll catch y'all next week and we'll be able to recap. Make sure you, like you said, drop a comment below if you are keeping track of your weekly picks or if you're excited about any of the guys we talked about today.
Yes, sir. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace out.
We'll be right back.